You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 2, and this is, we're going to jump off this diving board here, and I already know there's water in this pool, so we're not going to have to pray there's water in the pool on this one. I did some studying on this, and I know there's a little water here, so we're going to jump off the diving board here. I wanted to talk to you this morning. I was thinking about teaching on something along the similar lines, and as I just got to studying, this just really started, you know, burning on the inside of me. And you know, that's kind of how I operate. When I'm studying something, I may have 50 things that I'm wanting to teach, but when it comes down to, you know, really getting into studying and you know, I feel a pull. You know, this is the direction you need to go. You know, and so I want to teach something along this line, and it just works out, you know, just like God. I'm taking a few math courses because my math is, you know, I'm struggling math a little bit. So, no, actually, I'm just taking a few math courses, pretty intense math courses, and so there's going to be a little bit of math come out of me today. But, you know, the devil, he's a sly dog, you know it? He's a sly dog. And what I want to talk to you about today is recognizing the tools that the devil uses. I mean, you know, so many times we're, you know, and this is a good thing, but we're learning to do this. We're learning to love. We're learning to have patience. We're learning to have joy. We're learning to forgive. We're learning to, you know, pray and have faith and all these things. And we're learning all these things, and we touch on, you know, what the devil does. You know, because the devil's going to come against you. He's going to try to do this to you. But, you know, in math, it's real interesting. There's a lot of different, everybody wants you to do this for me. Reach over to the side of your chair and pick up your, I know y'all brought it with you. Reach over to the side of your chair, pick up your thinking cap, and let's just everybody do this together. Okay, there we go. Now, we've got our thinking caps on now. It's just, you know, a little logic and deductive reasoning, right? Okay, if we can find out what tools the devil uses to come against us, makes us a little smarter, doesn't it? And we can combat that with, in math, they'd call it the inverse, you know, or the opposite of it. Okay, if he's coming against you with deceit, which is probably the first one we're going to get to on this deal, is just deceit and lies. I mean, he is the great deceiver. He's the great liar. He tries to deceive you into thinking all kinds of things that are not true. Well, what do we combat that with? The truth, right? So, okay, if we can recognize, so just to give you an example of things to come, this little highlight, you know, didn't have to pay anything extra for the preview. All right, now, if we can think of all the things that the devil comes against us with, and I'm not trying to say that we should start a doctrine or start studying all the things the devil does. You know, that's not what we're all about. But as Christians, we need to recognize the tools that the devil uses to come against us. If we don't recognize them, how can we combat them? How can we come against them? How can we flip that over and make good out of what he's trying to make bad out of? Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. And just the first thing that, you know, I thought about starting out in 1 Peter 5:8, and it talks about, you know, the devil, and he walks by as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I'll go ahead and do this, because this is good. Did we get? Okay, here, there. All right, so I'm not going to attempt to do, like, a great drawing, but you know, the devour word there is, it means like, you know, to undertake, swallow. I mean, just consume and swallow you. And there's an interesting word there, and it's may. Everybody say may. Because the devil doesn't have permission to do that unless you give it to him. Right? Okay, so we have to allow the devil to devour us. All right? And I'm reminded of this thing, and I remember seeing this, and it was kind of comical and really, man, it spoke volumes to me. You got this stork here, and he's got this frog. I don't remember. People probably have seen this thing, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not an artist. So you got this frog here, and he's got his hands around this stork's throat as he's being, the stork's trying to swallow him here. And so anyway, you got the frogs in there, and it says, never give up. So we don't need to let the devil destroy us and swallow us, devour us, you know, never give up. Okay, so that was just a quick drawing. I know you've probably seen that on emails, a little stork there in the frog. But anyway, we never want to give up. We never want to let the devil take us over and devour us. And it starts by the may. It starts with may. Don't let him. Everybody say, I'm not going to give him permission. That's right. All right. So I want to bring that in, that it is something that you have to allow the devil to do. But in 2 Corinthians here, it's very interesting here. Verse 11, it says, actually, before this, he's talking about forgiveness a little bit, which we'll get into some in a minute. But in verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. In other words, you know, don't fall into sin through unforgiveness, is what he's getting to at. But you could say it for anything. Don't fall into sin because of lying. Don't fall into sin because you condemned or you put down people you didn't edify or exhort to build people up. You know, whatever the sin may be. Don't fall into sin. Don't fall into the trap, because Satan will take advantage of you if you do that. If you fall into sin, Satan will take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant. And say, I am not ignorant of the devil's devices. We are not ignorant. We know that he tries to deceive us and change our minds into thinking that we're not, you know, good enough, and that we're, you know, or that we're sick, or that we're, you know, we should be depressed, and we should, you know, he tries to do all these things to us, and we're not ignorant of all those devices. We're going to combat those, and we're going to take this just came to me. This is a really cool title, I thought, since we're going to show you something here. We need to factor out the devil and his devices. I'm just going to say factor out the devil. All right, there we go. Factor out the devil. You need to factor him out of your life. You need to factor him out. Now, in math, I thought this was kind of neat. In math, you know, I'll use blue for a different color here. In math, you know, if you have simple algebraic equations, again, we have our thinking caps on. This is not going to be too tough, I promise. But if you have equations and you have, let's just say you've got the devil added into something on one side and it equals something else. Let's just say you've got you over here plus the devil and some device that he has. That's going to equal destruction. Okay? All right, everybody understand that? That's pretty simple, right? So we've got to factor out the devil in order to get rid of the product of destruction or the result of destruction, right? So we have to factor him out of this thing. How do you do that? You subtract him, just completely subtract him out of the equation. All right, when you do, one way you do it, you can subtract him out, you can divide him out. This is kind of neat here. You know, if you've got the devil over here and he's doing something, and it equals destruction. All right, watch this. This is kind of neat. The devil, if you take that and you divide the devil out of this side over here, so you put one over the devil. I'm just adding this in here because really this is the way it should look anyway. You should be over the devil. You shouldn't let the devil be over you over here. When the devil's over you, then it equals destruction. But when you get yourself, where's he supposed to be? Under your feet. When you get the devil under your feet, it cancels him out. You divide destruction by the devil, and you get success, prosperity. I'm going to abbreviate because I can't write that fast. Prosperity. You get all these good things when you factor the devil out of the equation. Right, now I may not use the board a whole lot more, but do you understand where I'm going here? All right, so we've got to find out, okay, what's the devil trying to do here? I've got to get his device out of my life. I've got to get this tool he's trying to use out of the equation. I've got to factor him out so that I can have success, so I can have what God wants in my life. Amen? And again, you've got to get yourself over the devil. Don't let the devil get over you. Don't let him put his mask on and trick you and deceive you into thinking that, you know, he should be the one you listen to. Who should we be listening to? Who should we be, you know, looking into to find out the truth about things? The Word of God. We should be listening to God. We're listening to Jesus and his Word. Amen. So we need to not be ignorant of his devices so that we can factor him out of everything in our lives. Amen. And I just, you know, one of the first things I mentioned here was deceit. You know, he is the great deceiver. And so turn with me, if you will, to John. We already gave the answer to this. Everybody, if you you know, this is just going to be like a class. Y'all just answer whenever, you know, I ask and make me feel real important, you know, and good, and give me the right answer and all that. I'm just teasing. And John, this is real common, common scripture here in John. It's, but this is the answer to factoring, you know, out deceit and lies. And we talked about that. What is that? If we're going to get rid of deceit and lies that the devil tries to give us, we're going to have to fight it with, or combat it with, or factor in what? The word, which is the truth, the truth. And so here we go. This is real good math deal too. You know, if one, let's see here, we'll get rid of this real fast. It'll help us make this point here. Okay, now, if, let's say that, if, you know, 2 + 3 equals what? 5. Okay, very good, very good. Now, 5, that also, it's also the same as if you took 7 and minus 2, that also equals 5, right? Okay, which is also the same as 4 + 1. So you could say all these, 2 + 3 equals 4 + 1 too, right? Oh, okay, all right. So yeah, we can say that equals that, right? 7, 2, that equals, 7 - 2, that equals this, that equals, and that equals this one, that one equals that one. They all equal each other, right? Simple math, right? Okay, so let's look at something here. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." All right, Jesus says, "I am the way, truth, and life." All right, now turn over to John 1. Bible drills, John 1. Much faster if you have the old iPad. Okay, John 1. Now let's look for a minute here. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, there was nothing made." Okay, and it goes on down. So now we have the Word was in the beginning, right? Okay, you're following with me. The Word was in the beginning. Let's write this down. The Word. All right, there's the Word right there. The Word was in the beginning. Now, what happened to the Word? We know what happens to the Word. We look down in here in verse 14. What does it say? The Word became flesh. Whoa. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Well, who's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth? Who's that? Jesus. So the Word, it was Jesus, right? Okay. Oh. All right, so there's the Word. That's Jesus. Oh, wait, Jesus said he was the truth too, right? So, so here's the truth. So we know the truth is in Jesus, right? We also know the truth is where? In the Word, right? Okay, so Jesus is the truth. The Word is truth. They all equal each other. So when we're going to find, when we're going to combat lies that the devil has, we go to Jesus, but we go to where? The Word. We go to the Word. This is where you're going to find out all the true things about you and what God says about you and what you can have in your life and what you can be in life, and the success, and the joy, and the peace, the life. You know, this is the truth. Whenever the devil comes to you and tries to deceive you and to tell you a lie, what did Jesus do? Every time the devil tempted, when he went into the wilderness to be tempted, 40 days there, the devil came to him. What did Jesus do? Every time he came right back to him with the Word, the truth. The devil came to him and says, "Hey, turn this stone, you know, into bread, you know, just eat, you know, or do this, bow down to me, do all these things." Well, Jesus said, no. The Word says this and this and so, and that's the way it's going to be. The truth is this. That's not, no, devil, no. I recognize your tool here. I'm factoring you out here because you're not going to have a stronghold. You're not going to have advantage of me. You're not going to devour me because I know what you're trying to do here, and I'm combating that with the reverse of deceit, lies. I'm combating that with the truth. I'm combating that with the Word of God, and God's Word says that I can do this, I can do this, and so, and that's what the truth of the matter is. Amen? Say, "I've got the truth." Amen. I've got the truth. Now, it's interesting too. Turn over to this to John 8 real quick. This is a good one to wrap up the deceit section. John 8. Because again, what happens whenever the devil does deceive you? He takes advantage of you. You get entrapped. You get snared by him, right? Well, when that happens, we really need to get loose. We got to get free of that. Amen? Well, real easy scripture here. It says, John 8. Oh, wait a second. Did I do this one right? Did I write this down? Yeah. Okay. I'm in the wrong script. It helps to be in John 8, not 9. Okay, sorry. I just did not look right. I was like, that is not what it says. I know it's not what it says. But anyway, it says here, verse 31, John 8, 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, say, I believe. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Ooh, say, I'm a disciple. And verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will, what will the truth do? The truth will make you free. The truth will make, the lies, what will, well, obviously, if the truth makes you free, what does lies and deceit do to you? Hems you up, puts you in bondage, it traps you, ensnares you, it keeps you from doing the things that God would have you to do. We've got to study the Word. We've got to know the truth so that we can be free. I mean, if we're going to win, everybody say, I'm a winner. If we're going to be a winner in Christ, we've got to stay free. We can't be hemmed up. I mean, it's just bottled up. Sometimes you just feel like a bottle full of energy and you just got to get it out, right? Well, the devil would like to keep you just the cork right there on top of the bottle and keep you all inside there so that you can't make a difference in the people's lives around you, so that you can't minister to people, so that you can't be a good influence for other people and to bring them into the kingdom, bring them into the family, to witness, to share with them, to talk about how good God is, to sing God's praises. He'd like to bottle all that up. We've got to recognize when the devil's doing that to us. You know, there's times, I can think of many times that I felt the urge and maybe to just talk to somebody, share with somebody, you know, maybe somebody going through a hard time or whatever. And I know you're going through a hard time. You know, I've gone through similar situations just like that. You know, God loves you. He's for you. He's on your side. You know, you can make it. You know, there's times that I felt an urge to talk to somebody, or minister to somebody, and man, I didn't do it. It was like I had a little cork on my bottle and I just couldn't get out. You know, I couldn't break out and do it. You know, the devil would like to keep you that way all the time. He would like to keep you bottled up. And we have got to recognize that device. We've got to recognize that that's just a tool of the devil. If he can keep your mouth shut, he can keep the word from coming out. The word is the truth. The word's going to set you free. It's going to set the people that you're ministered to free. Amen? So we've got to recognize that tool and that device. And the truth is what combats lies and deceit the devil has. And the truth is what will keep you free. Amen? All right. Now, so we talked about, we'll just put down a couple of these here. There's no way we'll get to all of these. No way. It's not going to happen. I know too well. In fact, I wrote down a list, and I just started Xing them out. I was like, there's no way I'll get to that. I won't get to that one either. No, I won't have time for that either. There's just no way. Okay, so deceit, we'll say deceit was one of them, and I always like using lowercase. Let me fix this. Because I do like to use lowercase anytime we're talking about the devil, especially whenever you see, you'll notice that in the Bible even says like the God of this world. When that God is spelt out, it's little g. I like to use little. In fact, I think I didn't try to do that on the website. But anyway, deceit, and we combat that with what? Truth. All right. There it is. Deceit and truth. And there's a whole lot more that we can get into, but for sake of time, I'd really like to get to at least one more point. So, Another thing that the devil uses is, let me back up and say this. Deceit and lies, I really think, I started out with that point because I really think that most everything else from here on out just stems from that. I mean, the devil is just trying to discourage you through lies. He tries to, in this point that we're talking, the next point we're talking about, division, separation, disunity, disharmony. He does that through lies. He tries to get you separated from people because he gets you thinking, well, those people are talking bad about you. They don't like you. They don't love you. You don't need them. You can do this on your own. You know, you don't need God. You can do this by yourself. You know, you can do all. It all stems from lies and deceit. The devil does all these other things, I think, really mostly through deceit and through lies. And so, you know, that's obviously the first one we need to recognize. If we get down to the second point, we start seeing division start playing. Whoa, wait a second. We can combat division for sure. We obviously need to recognize the higher level of tool that he's using here. That's just deceit and lies. He's trying to get us, you know, to get disunified. But, you know, let's turn to Matthew 18. Actually, I tell you what. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. Yeah, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1 first. And we may talk about Matthew there. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. I've got to get me an iPad. Page flipping is just, it's like, takes forever. It's just like the silence, you know, and you have to wait. And so, I'm just kidding. All right, 1 Corinthians 1. It says, verse 10, it says, "Now I plead with you, brethren." This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." You know, we are a family. And Dad just wrapped up a teaching here the last couple of weeks about the church. And involved in that, you'll see in 1 Corinthians 12 there a lot of about being the members. We're members of a body. We're members in particular, but we're members of a body, and this body has a function. This body has a goal in mind, and we have got to work together. You know, I can't go this way and this leg try to go that way, and it'll work out. You know, this leg is part of my body, and we all have to have, you know, and I don't have to say, you know, let's go over here. Okay, now let's stop. All right, let's turn around and go the other way. Okay, we're all done. Now, we just work together. You know, we already know the vision. We have the same goal and vision in mind. And as a body, the body of Christ, our mission is to reach people. Amen. And so, Paul's saying, you know, hey, you know, I find it interesting. Paul says a lot of things, and of course, a lot of other writers of the Bible, New Testament too, talk about a lot of things. They tell us a lot of it. They give us a lot of instruction. Whenever you're growing up, you've received a lot of instruction. Whenever you're raising children, how many of you have children? Okay. When you have children, you give your children instruction. Why do you tell your child not, I mean, why do you plead with them and tell them, child, please, don't go up on top of the stage and jump off? Why do you tell them that? But beyond wanting them to get hurt, what do you know is going to happen if you don't tell them that? They're going to go on the stage and they're going to jump off. Okay, so Paul's saying, look, don't be divided. Y'all be unified. Why? Because he knows that they're going to have temptations and there are going to be situations where there are going to be divisions. And he's saying, look, don't do that. I mean, A lot of things that we as parents and as my parents did for us, they told us, knowing that that was a potential thing for us to do. It could happen, maybe not to you, probably other kids, right? I mean, probably other children. Y'all probably weren't bad kids. Y'all didn't ever have to deal with anything wrong. You know, y'all were perfect little angels. I know if I ask your mom, that's what they'll say. Y'all were perfect little angels growing up. But you know. He's telling us certain things, and we see this happen in the Bible. Certain things are told to us because it's something that can happen. Maybe not you, but it could happen to somebody. So, you know, take that to heart. Now, he's saying here, I plead with you. Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he's getting serious here now. All right. That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What happens when we're in the same mind and the same judgment, same vision, same goal? What happens? hey, the power of God takes place. I mean, you know, the power of God moves on a place where there's, and we've seen that. Dad's talked about, just the Spirit talked about baptism of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2. They were up in the upper room, you know, they were praying. And it says when they were all in one accord, when they were together, when they had one mind, one vision, one goal in mind there, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. The power of God was there. Things happened. God was able to move, and God was able to do what he wanted to do, and that was to bring them the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost on their lives. So we see the devil, he would love to get us separated and divided. He'd love to keep us apart. You know, Dad talks about time that he was, actually it was at Lakewood, and he was out with the youth. There was somebody else, I think, that was the youth minister at the time, but Dad was out there helping. Of course, that was back in the days when Joel Osteen, if you know Joel, Joel was in the youth at that time. So that doesn't tell you anything about how old Dad is. I'm just mentioning that. But anyway, the minister, they were outside. It was in the evening. They had built this fire up, and it's a common analogy a lot of people use. But, you know, there's this fire going, and there's this coals, and the minister, the youth pastor there, youth teacher, he took one of the little coals when he first started teaching. He just took one, and he just kind of separated it out from the bunch over there and just left it over there, and he started teaching this lesson. And then as he was teaching here, you know, things started kind of coming together, and this coal started just dying out. I mean, like, it didn't have the heat from the other ones to keep it going. It was all by itself out there. And so he brought that into the story and made this point about how that whenever when we separate ourselves, when we get away from the family, when we get away from Christian and the fellowship of Christian believers, surround yourself with, you know, good people, not being unequally yoked, but being equally yoked with Christians. You know, when we separate ourselves, we lose the heat produced by the rest of them as well. I mean, we can hold that heat for a little while. You know, we will burn a little bit there, you know, but eventually we die out. And how much more and longer does that stay heated up and lit up when it's together with the rest of the coals? I mean, it's exponential. I know, and I keep falling back into math here, but it's not just adding, like, you know, it's not adding a few minutes here. You know, well, you stay with 10 people, you know, you're going to stay longer for 10 minutes, you know, and then if you've got 20 people, it's not 20 minutes, it's more like 100 minutes. And you got 40 people, and it's like, you know, 2 days. You know, it's just like Dad mentions this too. He gives an example, and it is absolutely true. I can testify of it in helping Dad do certain projects and then also working on jobs myself. I'm a man, and I am guilty of trying to do too many things, you know, on my own. I can, you know, I fall into this division trap, you know. I fall in this thing where I think, oh, no, I can do that. I can do it by myself. It's all right. I don't need to call for help, you know. No guy wants to call for help, you know. You know, I can do this. I can do it on my own. And I can. Now, boy, I mean, I tell you what, I can do things by myself. It'd take 3 guys to do. It might take me a week to get it done, whereas if I had 3 guys, it could probably take me just a few hours. But, and that's the case. One guy can build a house, okay? Might take him 6 months. You put 2 guys, it doesn't drop it down to 3 months. It drops it down to more like 2 months, you know? It's not doing it just 2 times faster. It multiplies. You get 5 guys on there, man, they can frame out that thing. That house can be done in just a few weeks. I mean, it didn't take long at all. The more people you add, it's not just adding, you know, exactly the amount, doubling, tripling, quadrupling. Won't go any further than that, so you don't have to worry about remembering anything. Okay, it's exponential. And the devil realizes how much power there is in unity. And Dad mentioned this too. You know, the scripture says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Whoa, wait a second. Wait, you're just putting 2 people together, and they can do 1,000 apiece. Wait a second. That doesn't add up. No, because really whenever you're dealing with God, everything is dealt with multiplication. He doesn't deal with addition at all. And if you really think about it, everything's multiplied. You know, the bread and the fish, the loaves of bread and the fish, those are multiplied, you know. And you know, the cast your net over here, and, you know, and then the cast your net over here, and then bring other boats over here, because it's just so much. It just multiplies the blessings to you, multiplies things to you, not just adds them to you. The devil understands how important it is to keep you from being in fellowship, keep you from being unified with your brethren, your family. And so, and Paul recognizes too, he says, hey, don't let there be division among you. Be perfectly joined together. You know, Proverbs 29:18 talks about if we don't have a vision, we perish. And I would go one step further. If a group of people don't have the same vision, that group doesn't succeed. It doesn't. It perishes. It will perish. It will perish because they don't have the same vision. Because they're not. They're divided in what their vision is. They're divided in what, you know, what they're supposed to, what they want to do. Amen. All right. So, and we talked about how in verse Corinthians 12, we are members of a body. We have to work together for this thing to work. Amen. You got to work together for this thing to work. We've got to stay in unity. And that's, you know, again, that's just another thing that the devil would use. You know, we'll quote this real quick. Hebrews 10:25 talks about forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together as a manner. Oh, my goodness. You mean that happens? As the manner of some is. You mean people don't go to church? What? They don't get together? They don't fellowship? Division. We can fight that with unity. And this is what I like to put with that, a unified, unified what? Vision. Unity, a unified vision. Okay? That's what the devil, he'd like to deceive you into thinking that, you know, oh, you don't need them to do this. You can do this over here by yourself on your own. But don't forsake the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is. And you know, that bleeds over into not just church. It goes over into your friendship, into your associations outside of church. You know, you want to have a unified vision. The people around you, you want to have the same. You want to be friends with Christians. You want to, if you can, you want to work with Christians. You want to, the people you hang out with should be Christian people. They should have same, you know, goals and same visions that you have in your life. You know, as I was growing up, that was something that was, well, even all of us growing up, that was something that was always stressed with us. Outside of church, we went to church. We went to seminars and conventions and Bible studies and all those things all of our life. But even outside of church, when we were at school, you know, our friends, we didn't spend the night with anybody that didn't go to church. You know, and we didn't have friends. Our friends weren't people that weren't Christian friends. You know, we didn't date anybody that didn't go to church. Isn't that right? We couldn't. I mean, if they didn't go to church, no, you forget it. It's not an option. That is not an option. You know, but that's because it's important. Our associations, even outside of church, will determine, you know, how successful we are. How many times whenever you've got something happening in your life and you need to call somebody for help, you can call them a friend from church or some other Christian friend that you have, and that person, you know, builds you up and encourages you. All right, so that, you know, that's another thing the devil might use to get to you. Amen. All right, now, and I'm not going to, I won't get to all these. I was going to get to several more. But let's talk about one more. And I know this is a tough one. And we talked a little bit about this, about vision. But he tries to get you unfocused. And he tries to get your eyes off the prize. You know, he tries to get you distracted, as it were. And basically he tries to get you to change your priorities. I mean, what is priority? Well, is reading my Bible priority today, or do I have, you know, a million other things on the list? You know, I'm guilty of that. You know, I get way too many irons in the fire going on, and I get distracted, and I get my priorities get messed up. And so, you know, we have to fight that with staying focused. You know, keeping the vision, writing it plain, making it plain, you know, so that he that reads it can run with it. You know, we need to keep the vision, make it plain. We need to keep ourselves in the Word. The more you're around the Word, the more you study the Word, the more you'll want to study the Word. Does that make sense? The more you study, the more you read God's Word, it will draw you, it'll pull you, and you'll want to study it even more. And you'll study it even more, and then you'll want to even study it more than that. That makes sense? And we talked about how in Proverbs 29:18, we have to keep a vision. We've got to keep a goal in front of us. If we don't have a goal, we perish. We're just, you know, we're running out here and doing this and then doing that and doing that. Where there's no forward motion. It's like being in a rocking chair. You know, we use a lot of work going on, but we're not really getting anywhere. You know, we're in this rocking chair. And I tell you, let's turn to Philippians. Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. When you're there, say hallelujah. All right, that's a lot of you. Okay. All right, so let's see here. Okay, let's see. Man, I want to start. I feel like Dad here. Where do I want to start here? Back up a little bit to get to it, I think. Let's do this. Let's look at verse 13, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Ooh, that's good. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. How do I reach forward, forgetting those things that are behind. Why is that important? Because the devil's going to try to tell you, oh, you remember what happened? You remember what you did? You remember this took place? You can't do that. You remember what happened last time? You know, you failed. Remember that? Remember you didn't make it last time? No. I'm forgetting what's behind me. And now I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm going forward. I'm reaching forward to the high calling, the upward calling. I'm going to do this thing. We've got to set our minds, you know, on things above. You know, another scripture talks about how, you know, setting our minds on things above and not on things here on the earth. We need to set our minds on things above, things in heaven, things that God would have us to think on. We need to have God's thoughts. We need to think like Him. And we need to set our minds, our goal, our vision, our prize. We need to look into the hills, which comes our help. That's the level where God's at there. We need to look to God and what He has to offer for us, what He has in store for us. And when we keep our minds and our eyes set on that prize and that goal, forgetting those things which are behind me, amen, all the things the devil may try to bring up in your past, you know, well, that's not you anymore. Today, you're an overcomer. Today, you're more than a conqueror. Today, you've got faith that can move mountains. Amen. Today, you're blessed. You can't be cursed. You know, today, this is who I am. Today, I'm reaching forward and I'm setting my eyes on the mark. I'm pressing towards the mark, towards the high calling. So that's what you've got to do to combat when the devil tries to distract you and say, oh, you know what? You know, really, you really need to get this done. Really? No. You know what? I'm keeping this in the forefront of my mind that, you know, I'm going to spend a little time here studying. I need to go to church today. I really need to get to church tonight. I do not need to work late today. I need to go to church. I feel kind of bad. I might just need to rest. I might just need to stay here and lay in bed and just recoup. You know, just take it easy. And my body just needs some, you know, refreshing, relaxing time here, you know, in bed. And I don't want to get up and go to church this morning. I'm gonna just stay right. No, I'm going to go to church because I'm going to go and get in the presence of God. And I'm going to get joy. I'm going to get filled up with joy and peace and rejuvenate my spirit man. And as my spirit man prospered, my outward man will prosper as well. I'll be blessed on the outside just as I feed and bless the inside. Amen? So we've got to combat those things. And we talked about three today. There's so many more to talk about. You know, we need to love. Don't let the devil talk into hating people and being bitter. And we talked a little bit about forgiveness. Don't fall in the trap of unforgiveness. Forgive. You've got to forgive people. You got to love people. Don't let him Don't let him devour you and swallow you and trap you and bottle you up with these tools. Recognize those tools. Factor that out. Do the opposite. We look at this problem from the other way around, okay? What is the devil going to use to stop me? Okay, all right, he's going to use that. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do to defeat the devil in this situation. You know, make a plan. Make a plan. You know, so many times we just don't have a plan. You know, we're just kind of idling along. But make a plan. Get a goal, get a vision, and work towards that. Press towards that and look ahead and see, okay, what tools, what is it, what devices the devil, you know, could he use here to stop me? Think ahead of now and say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I walk in love. I'm going to forgive people whenever, you know, that's the Lord's Prayer, you know, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. He's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is our ultimate example. We should forgive all of those who sin against us as well. Mark 11:25 talks about moving mountains. He says, now when you're praying, you're standing and you're praying there, you need to forgive. Don't let that sin hold you back from being able to accomplish things in your life. Recognize what he does. Factor that thing out of that equation. Factor him out of your lives, you know, with the opposite, with what God would do in that. You know, if it's deceit, find out the truth. If it's division, get a vision. Get a unified vision. We'll write this last one down. If it's distraction, wow, this all ended up being D's. I didn't realize that. Okay. Distraction, get a vision. We'll talk about, you know, we'll get focused. Get focused and get the right vision. Get God's vision. Get God's eyesight on this thing.